It's time to take the quiz.
5 questions, 5 minutes a day, 5 days a week.
Take the quiz every weekday at thequiz.fox and then listen to the quiz podcast to find out how you did.
Play, share, and of course, listen to the quiz at thequiz.fox.
Looking for a parallel economy, looking for businesses that share our values. I introduce to you Public Square. Hey, what's up? It's Will Cain of the Will Cain Podcast. Welcome to the weekend. Welcome to opening day. Baseball has started one of the most hopeful days in sports. I would put opening day up there with the NFL draft when every franchise and every fan base feels like, hey, you know what? Maybe we got a chance. Hope. I know yesterday at opening day is a day where I can talk about Jacob DeGrom possibly being a potential and the first in the history of the franchise Cy Young Award winner. That is, of course, if he can start more than 15 games. Jacob DeGrom, by the way, the most common reference in my celebrity doppelganger. I get that and Tim Matheson. The guy who was in Animal House, like the lead character in Animal House, and Jacob DeGrom. But every fan base, every franchise is like, hey, you know, 162 games, 161 games to go. Maybe we're alive. Only, I think, beat by 32 franchises going, who are we going to get? Who are we going to pick? Soon, by the way, upcoming, the NFL draft, that's going to change our fortune. Speaking of fortune, we talk a lot on this podcast. We have talked about parallel economies. I love this conversation because I think it's also inherently aspirational, inherently full of hope. It's optimism. It is capitalism. It is for anyone out there that has an idea, anyone that has a little bit of entrepreneurialism, the idea that because American corporations, because the American economy has stepped away, not from Republican values, this isn't a partisan point, but from American values, that leaves, of course, disappointment, but also a market opening. You can create a company. I can create a company. We can create a product. We can create an entertainment product that replaces the 85% of the American economy that has betrayed Americans. You can look at any list. They're published everywhere. You can see the companies that have funded, not just, you know, participated in the requirement of DEI, but funded BLM and its communist underpinnings. And that's just one example. Funded any number of causes, politicians, public policy initiatives, nonprofits, or investment in international adversaries, China, that defy Americans. It's not hard, I mean, to find out. It's just hard to cut the cord. It's not hard to see, oh, look, who is it? Netflix or Nickelodeon's doing some kind of trans elephant to feed to my four-year-old. Don't hold me to that exact analogy. But it's not hard. It's everywhere. You can look up any list, I swear. Your bank, your shoes, your jeans, your coffee, all of it, I guarantee you, has in some way sent a message, I don't really like you. So what do we do? Well, one of the answers to that, and a new answer to that, is Public Square. Public Square is an app, a little bit like Yelp, where when you download it and you look around, you can go in one of two ways. You can look local, geographically. What companies are around me that share my values? Or what companies out there in the country provide products that I might be interested in that share my values? Nick Ayers is the former chief of staff for Vice President Mike Pence. He's also on the board of directors for Public Square. And he jumped on today to tell us all about this new technology, this new app, this new company that is preparing to go public that helps us reconnect to our ideals as Americans. Here's Nick Ayers. Nick Ayers of Public Square, man, it's good to meet you. Let's pick up right where we were talking about comparing our days after this conversation. I don't know who's got it better. You're going turkey scouting for spring turkey hunting in Georgia, and I'm leaving right after our conversation to go to opening day Texas Rangers against the Philadelphia Phillies. So Rangers. I've got to go Rangers. I think you might have it better. It's always better to, I'd rather be out in the woods than in a stadium packed with 40,000 people. So you win to start the conversation.
Well, I agree with that only because I prefer not being in cities or in big crowds. But if you're going to be in a city in a big crowd, a Major League Baseball game is a pretty good place to be.
Yeah, I'm excited. I've never been to opening day. I've obviously been to a lot of baseball games, but I've never been on opening day. So
well,
to see if it has the magic.
I've never missed an opening day since I was three or four of some sort of hunting season. How's that? I have also never been to an opening day of baseball, but I love opening day of any hunting season. And very often I'm like hosting guests or entertaining and don't actually partake in the activity itself. But I love the excitement. I grew up only deer hunting and like small pond fishing. And so the thing about whitetail hunting in the Southeast is it's pretty limited. The season comes quickly and it goes quickly. And I've been, blessed and fortunate over the last two decades to pick up every good habit along the way and sort of outdoors and conservation hobbies of whether it's dove hunting or duck hunting or any sort of upland bird hunting or deer hunting, and which I'm a very passionate bow hunter. I've hung up the gun 6 years ago. Still a fan of people who like to exclusively do that. I have three 10-year-olds and they're still a little too young to pull back on a bow, but they love gun hunting. I love being outdoors and away from a lot of people. And that's something that it's why, this great president hangs behind me. And it's what you and I initially started talking about is he had a lot of extraordinary accomplishments, but what he did for conservation in this country, and without him, we would not have big game hunting in North America. And yet, over 120 years later, post-presidency, or 110 years later, post-presidency, our hunting because of him is better today in almost every aspect than it was when he was hunting, because things had already been hunted to almost extinction. And he saw that and set up the steps to preserve it. So yes, I'm excited about today, and will be even more excited about sitting with a few of my kids Saturday morning, trying to get a gobbler within 40 or 50 yards.
My favorite hunting opening day is dove season. It's a holiday. Yeah. Everyone knows it's not the one where you build the best of habits, as you mentioned a moment ago, for conservation. It's a little bit more of a party. But my favorite game is duck. Absolutely love duck hunting. But over your shoulder is a painting of Teddy Roosevelt. It's a beautiful, by the way, painting. And we did begin our conversation about him. I think that's interesting perspective that we would not have big game hunting but for Teddy Roosevelt. And if you also want to appreciate him, it will never come across in this podcast. It will never come across in this video. But I just have to implore anyone listening, you just have to visit a national park because they are just majestic beauties, gems of this country that does not translate simply by my testament or Nick's testament. And that's because of Teddy Roosevelt. I almost brought this up with you a moment ago. So 10 years ago, Nick, before we get into public square, I would say 10 years ago when I was part of the political conversation, took a hiatus, went into sports. There was a pretty interesting conversation about on the right, the rejection of Teddy Roosevelt, that with Teddy Roosevelt actually began the progressive movement. And it's interesting where we sit today, that Teddy Roosevelt becomes a pretty apt symbol of where we sit today on the right, in that definitely many, many conservative values, but also a populist that was skeptical towards big corporations.
He busted up a lot of the companies that he felt like had become globalist in nature, that no longer had America's best interest at heart, and were no longer, he was about the forgotten man before that was a thing. And he absolutely, I remember somebody that all your listeners would know, a very prominent, conservative strategist, or Republican strategist, I should say, a decade ago was giving me real grief about how I said, yeah, he's one of my favorite presidents, if not my favorite president. And he goes through all the sort of talking points of how he overreached and created, you know, this regulatory framework and wasn't friendly to business. And the more I read about what his motives were for doing that, it's eerily similar to what we're dealing with 120 years later. And it's an interesting segue into why I invested in Public Square and now sit on their board of directors. And it is because I never thought that my interest wouldn't be anything other than wholly aligned with what I grew up as a kid in Atlanta, Georgia, thinking of just amazing, you know, American companies like Coca-Cola or Delta Airlines. There are many, many others, and they still have tens of thousands who are of employees who love the country, love our state of Georgia. But in the same way Roosevelt over 100 years ago started questioning, like, wait, whose benefit are these companies actually being run for? Are the same things that I sit around. I never thought I would question, you know, the biggest companies in America, like, who do they ultimately want to see succeed? That, to me, that's not even that difficult of a question to answer anymore. When they are fueling the division within, they are spending tremendous amounts of money, not in a bipartisan fashion, overwhelmingly tilted towards a leftist agenda that's way outside the mainstream, that's anti-capitalism. Literally, they support socialist policies at home, that's an anti-freedom. And yet you see them on one hand, you know, being classical liberals here at home, but then abroad, totally aligning themselves with China. And it's like, hey guys, you actually can't do both. If on principle, you only want to be for the left here in this country, if that's what you really believe. Okay, but that would also be the complete opposite of aligning yourself with socialist and Marxist abroad, all for the sake of expanding your company's TAM. And so one of my convictions, Will, post White House, I was honored to serve in the Trump Pence administration. I was assistant to the president, chief of staff to the vice president. One of the convictions I left with is seeing that despite, like, tremendous policy, again, set Trump and Pence aside and all the hot takes that are associated with that, I think just objectively, if you look at the policies that were being accomplished, they were overwhelmingly amazing. You had no inflation. You had a roaring economy. You had peace abroad, even in the Middle East. You had gas prices that were affordable. It was extraordinary. You had minority jobless rates at an all-time high. You had people making more money and in their bank account than any time in American history. And yet, what were our biggest companies doing? Unilaterally spending money to defeat those policies. Forget about him for a minute, about he and the vice president, while doing anything that President Xi asked them to do abroad to obey and submit in order to explore the Chinese marketplace. And so one of my convictions, my biggest business conviction post White House was, we have to create a parallel economy that will serve the 100+ million Americans who aren't, and I'm not referring to Republicans or conservatives. I'm saying the 100+ million Americans who love this country, don't believe we're inherently racist, who just care about providing their kids a good, safe education, love their freedom, believe in American excellence, and want to be left alone, you know, support the Second Amendment. And yet, if we don't do it, the risks are, and it's not even a risk, these things happen, they're all too common now. For those people who just want to express their constitutional rights, they can be canceled by their banks. I had one of the largest charities in America that do so much good. I mean, it's just unbelievable the amount of good they do. They contacted me, friends of friends, a year ago and said, you know, this is a charity that's hundreds of millions of dollars, and said, we're at risk of not having a bank in 30 days because we define marriage, you know, through the traditional biblical view of marriage. And our bank says that it's risky, and they, you know, we're probably going to have another bank. It's like, what is this? Is this China? Is this the Soviet Union? It's happening right here in this country. And right. So my conviction has been, we have to invest not in Republican companies or in conservative companies, but build up a flywheel of capital, of business, that where people who believe what over 100 million of us believe can't be canceled, that we can have our own economy. I would rather us all be unified, but that's not what most of these big businesses seek. And that is something that on a different, the issues were different, but that's what he became, he meaning Roosevelt, became leery of over 100 years ago, of are their interests really still aligned with the average ordinary American?
Right. Let's we will today, and we have in the past, had conversations about parallel economies and what you guys are doing directly in a parallel economy with Public Square. But I want to stay on this conversation for just a moment, and I want to talk about motivation, because I think the only real way to change someone's behavior is to understand their motivation. But if that's not what we're trying to do as well, change someone's behavior, the only real way to win is to also, I think, understand the motivation of one's adversary. So I want to talk about the motivation of American corporations that have embraced increasingly, I think this is very fair to say, anti-American ideals. You know, I've said this before. I don't know what you've said on this, Nick. If you took the top 500 CEOs of America's top 500 corporations, or maybe even went down a level in the C-suite, and you did a political survey, I don't think you would come back with the results of that survey showing some of the furthest left people in the United States of America. So then you ask yourself, well, then why are their corporations increasingly adopting some of the furthest left policies? So, is it because of own personal ideology? A. Is it because of fear? B. The voice of a small radical minority that somehow gets to define mainstream culture in America? Or is it C. Just sheer, pure pursuit of profit, and that these corporations have found amorally? And what I mean by that is not driven by ideology, but living up to what they think is their purpose in capitalism, return for investor. They have found that profitability is found by adopting these anti-American ideals.
Yeah. Wow. I mean, it begs an even deeper philosophical question, which I'll come back to. But I think the answer is B. I think it's fear. And I think you hit on something that's right. I have a lot of friends who fit the description of what you just said, Fortune 500 CEO, or and many friends in the C-suite beneath that. And overwhelmingly, they don't think it's right. One, from a fiduciary standpoint, they think it's actually costing them money. They spend their time on resources and things of focus that either do not grow their market share, do not make their product better, but in some cases make their product worse and shrink their market share. but the deeper philosophical thing that I wanted to get at is, I think the motivating factor is fear. And it's like, I think it's one of the main things all of us, at least I should say all of us, at least people of faith, have to fight or resist, which is like, do we do what is right? Or out of fear, do we cower to what is popular? And almost always, like, this isn't a new thing that humans are driven towards something that's popular, but not right. Like, that's the story of mankind and why I believe we need a savior to redeem us. But it is not because it's making them more money. DEI and ESG are destroying companies. Silicon Valley Bank's just the latest example of that. They thought if you just were super woke and had the most likes on LinkedIn of how woke you were, that you had the greatest bank. And what was an incredible bank was destroyed over politics and wokeism. They didn't have the best bankers in the country, which is what they had access to. They could have had the greatest, financiers and modelers and loan officers and technologists and strategists. No, they opted for some of that. and a lot of like, who can we hire because it's the end thing to do? Who's well connected? And that's not the way capitalism works or thrives. So I think, Will, it's driven by fear. And I feel like I know that it is, because you hear from the leaders in these companies, many are at a stage where they feel like it's too late to fight. My retirement is in 5 years or 10 years. I'm just going to finish it out here and wrap it up. Many who are closer to our age are, I think it's a mass exit of talent, of saying, where can I go that will allow me to unashamedly have Judeo-Christian values, to love this country, and to not be embarrassed by saying, I want to work my tail off to get a promotion, to make a lot of money. Like, that is the American dream. And yet that's not what is being celebrated or promoted within many of these companies.
Don't go anywhere. More of the Will Cain podcast right after this.
From the Fox News Podcasts Network, subscribe and listen to the Trey Gowdy Podcast. Former federal prosecutor and four-term U.S. congressman from South Carolina brings you a one-of-a-kind podcast. Subscribe and listen now by going to foxnewspodcasts.com.
So I suspect that you're right, Nick. I suspect that it is B and that it is fear. But I don't want to let go of C for just one moment. And that is, it sounds like what I'm going to be suggesting here is sort of anti-capitalism. And maybe this conversation is always going to keep coming back to Teddy Roosevelt. But I think that every human being has to ask themselves at a philosophical level what their hierarchy of values may be. Every human being.
Right.
And I do not think that if you talk to the vast majority of virtuous individuals, people that you or I or anyone listening would respect, would come back with the answer, wealth, riches. That's number one. That's the top of my hierarchy. So what I think happens is, and so maybe let's focus for a moment, and the distinguishing factor between B and C will be domestic versus international trade and business.
I would give a different
real quick on the international side. I think that C is playing a big role, the pursuit of money and dollars.
Right.
And I think that part of that is, if you can imagine a CEO that has direct control of his company, maybe 60%, 51% ownership, right? He is the one making the calls. That man can prioritize his convictions above profit. He can ask himself on a daily basis, what is my hierarchy of values? What do I stand for? But when you have fractional ownership, and again, I'm not anti-capitalist and I'm not against publicly traded companies, but when you have fractional ownership and you have publicly traded companies where ownership is dispersed, the value system has been diluted. And now the only commonality, the lowest common denominator of the ownership group is ROI, return on investment. When I look at my balance sheet, when I look at my investments, I probably don't do a good enough job of going, let me see, how did this holding do? And what is their American values? What I did instead is say, did I go green or did I go red that month? And by what percentage? And I think that C plays a real problem in this, at least. For example, do I think Nike believes in Chinese values? I do not. Do I think the vast majority of people that work at Nike are anti-American? I do not. But I think they're doing their best to get an ROI for their investor.
Yeah, it's so if on the domestic side, let me just put a finer point on it. I think it is fear to comply with what is popular on the New York Times editorial page and at like cocktail parties in Manhattan and in Los Angeles. But here's the game changer. When they pivoted to what is popular, they could also uphold their fiduciary duty because there was no economic consequence until now, because people are waking up. Meaning, you know, Starbucks could get away for 5 or 10 years saying, you know what, if you're pro-life or if you're pro-traditional marriage, we actually don't want your business. And I think a lot of us were apathetic for a long time of going, you know, that's Howard Wolfson's opinion. And I like their coffee. I'm going to drink it anyway. I think what is happening, what I pray is happening, is that millions of Americans are waking up and saying, unless we align our values with our dollars, this is going to get worse. I liken it because I love reading about history, and I liken it to like us sending millions of tons of scrap metal to Japan in the 1930s. I'm pretty sure we're going to see it again, and we're not going to like the form it comes back. That is really the question your listeners have to ask themselves about. You know, we used to vote every 2 or 4 years. The case I'm trying to make is we vote every time we use an app, every time we swipe a card, every time we tap our card, we're voting. Why? Because these technology companies, these major financial institutions, these huge software businesses are taking their profits and not just reinvesting it for jobs and to grow their TAM. The last few election cycles show they're spending hundreds of millions of dollars overwhelmingly to elect one party that is destroying freedom of speech. They're destroying capitalism in this country. They're not even quiet about it. They openly will question capitalism in favor of socialism. So the necessity for people of faith, the necessity for people who love freedom and the Constitution is to, I think, you know, be more sophisticated, be more aware of, you know, if every day I'm spending, whether it's $30 or $3,000, it's inconsequential to me. It's, am I aligning that? Am I investing this capital in a business that shares my values? Yeah. And I think I was guilty until a few years ago of largely ignoring that. And the beauty of Public Square and what I think Michael Cipher and the team there have done really well, which is why I invested in it, Blake Masters has invested in it, many other movement conservatives have, is because we want to make it easy for people who have our values and have our convictions to open an app and say, you know what, if I want coffee on a monthly subscription and I want excellent coffee, I care about coffee, I drink 3 or 4 cups in the morning, like who is someone that doesn't openly mock my convictions? If I'm going to buy a pair of socks, which I'm wearing soldier socks today that I found on Public Square, who can make an excellent pair of socks, because I don't want a crappy pair of socks, but that shares my conviction? If I want a cooler, and I found an amazing cooler on Public Square called Rugged Road Coolers, it's the same ice retention as a Yeti, but half the weight. If I want a cooler that I'm going to invest, you know, $200-$300 in, where can I buy it that shares my values? We have to develop the discipline and create this economy where we're not just fueling the people who literally hate us, Will. Like I've always been a person who, irrespective of politics, I kind of like everybody. I mean, really, I'm generally trusting. I want everybody to get along. This is a new theme for me in the last 18 to 24 months because I see the hostility and anger of the left. They don't want a unified country. They're using not just our political system, but the weaponization of boardrooms to spend money on nonprofit groups to seek to divide us and to destroy those of us who have Judeo-Christian values. And so it is a conviction of mine and a passion of mine to invest in companies that make it easy for me to align my dollars with my values. I will say this, everybody who attempts to do this, I'll hold Public Square to the same standard. Like, our excuse can't be, well, you know, we're values aligned, but accept our inferior product. Or we're values aligned and we're good people, so, in, you know, please accept our inferior app. My challenge to Michael and this team is, hey, in very near order, we have to have as excellent of a product in inventory as any marketplace in the country. Our customer service can be second to no one. We have to be consumer first. The values alignment is like icing on the cake, but like, we're not all super loyal to Chick-fil-A just because they're an amazing family and an amazing restaurant. It's also because
it's an amazing sandwich.
It's an amazing sandwich. And everybody who gives me the Chick-fil-A example of, well, there's proof that these businesses will succeed, look at Chick-fil-A. I'm like, do you know the time they spend on culture and excellence and quality control and supply chain and inventory and the management team? Like, it's all those things they do with perfection and excellence. And by the way, I love their values. That's right. Why they're successful. And that is what we seek to do at Public Square.
Okay, I want to talk more about that, but here's a personal question. Are you a Puritan? And I say that not as an indictment. I say that as an aspiration. No. Have you, as you and I, and I'll be honest, I have a Netflix subscription. I watch Netflix. I have a Paramount subscription. I have every subscription there is to have, by the way. And I want, like, I'm gonna almost guarantee, like, everyone listening, I would rather choose someone who has my value system, but I can't be a Puritan. Yeah. I can't cut everything out. Right. So just as a personal question, real quick, Nick, have you, my friend Sean Duffy, it does his best. He will not wear Nike. Yeah. My brother will not wear Nike. Yeah. Do I wear Nike? I wear Nike, you know? So have you, just as a personal question to start, are you puritanical? Have you accomplished this vision?
I'm going to coin a new term. I'm a practical Puritan. Okay. And so where I think businesses have earned the opportunity to get my money, then I will always choose them. I try to, in every category, find an alternative. If the product stinks or the customer service stinks, they haven't earned it. Like, to me, that's socialism, right? That's putting some ideal that can't actually ever be profitable ahead of what is practical. So, you know, I am proud to say that, like, we found a cooler company that we'll only do business with forever, a sock company, a coffee company. There are so many, an athletic wear company. Yes, are we there on entertainment? No. The conviction I have on entertainment, by the way, is just that, you know, and I'm not saying this for you, is we just felt convicted to cut a lot of that stuff out. Anyway, whether there was a good alternative or not, like, we really asked ourselves 3 years ago, of what is the alternative of all these subscriptions? Okay, it is us as a family learning sports together that we can do as a family. So, like, you know, it's tennis, it's pickleball, it's going to the driving range, it's hunting, it's fishing. So we spend very little of our time. You know, it's none of us were chess players. We now have, like, chess wars. They're not matches at our house. It's usually evolves into me screaming at three 10-year-olds that they're reading the rules wrong. But no, I'm a practical Puritan. But it goes back to my point, like, for this economy to succeed, it can't purely be a values play. Like, we have to be, and what I saw in Michael. There are many, many companies out, you know, raising capital or trying to acquire customers that are in this space that I've taken a pass on. I've tried to use their products unsuccessfully or thought it wasn't great customer service. I really put Michael through the paces when he was seeking it out, you know, for me to become an investor, of what is your roadmap to scale? Can you attract the talent to go public and grow and to really create a marketplace? When will you be profitable? And what is your plan, you know, outside of advertising dollars that can dry up? What can you create that you can have protected IP around that you can sell? And he was not the only one, but he was the best one that had the right answers with a long-term vision. And, you know, most startups fail. This is still early on. I think Public Square is getting the hyper growth it's getting and the momentum that it has, by the way. And it's not just growing among, like, people who love Don Jr. Or people who follow. There's so many influencers out pushing Public Square. There's this whole other culture of California skateboarders and surfers and motocross, you know, people who race in motocross, who aren't Republicans at all. They're frankly probably never participated in the political system. But you know what they're fed up with? Coming out of COVID, it was the first time in their life where they had intersected with bad public policy. And they're going, whoa, wait a minute. Like, where is this coming from? And what they sensed is, hey, it's not only coming from the government. In all these businesses I'm interacting with, they're saying, in the name of science, I have to show a vaccine card or I have to wear a mask, years and months after we knew that was all bogus. And so there's this whole freedom economy that again excites me, because it's not just conservatives or Republicans or people involved in politics. It's all these other groups, Will, that are rightly leery of the government overreach that we all saw and experienced during COVID.
Not just that, but I think an obvious betrayal of values that previously one would have been forgiven if they thought were bipartisan values. And so I've seen the same thing. I've seen California skateboard culture migrate, and I'm not talking about at large, my evidence is anecdotal, but migrate in a conservative direction because, whoa, I wasn't cool with you filling the, you know, skateboard pool up with sand. Didn't make any sense, you know, whatever it may be. Couple of thoughts. So first of all, to button up the idea on motivations on corporate America, I don't know if you saw this, Nick. Did you see the video of Richard Dawkins with Piers Morgan, wherein Richard Dawkins, famous atheist, talking in I would say famous atheist and intellectual. He's considered one of the world's intellects and would have previously been someone you say bravely tells it the way he sees it in this world, whether or not you agree or disagree. Piers Morgan asks him about some case in the UK about an ISIS bride and whether or not and how the UK should handle this ISIS bride. You'll have to look it up on the internet when we're done with this conversation.
I know it broke my heart. I mean,
you can see his soul leave his body. You can see him turn into nothing. His spine melts to the floor.
He literally starts going down in his chair and cowering as if you know, this man who's had all these, whether you agree or disagree, like extraordinary, not extraordinary in the sense of right or wrong, just hyper detailed, you know, super researched opinions about the most complicated issues in life related to physics and, you know, philosophy. And he's asked a basic question about freedom and rights on a terrorism case, as you said, and like kind of panics.
He won't say a word. He says to Piers, I'm not going to talk about this.
And to Piers Morgan credit, like Piers was initially confused, like, hey, have you not heard about this? Or are you
right?
Or will you not? Are you like cowering right now? Are you? And eventually Piers, I was so hyped up about this, I cut you off. I'm sorry, but but that is where we are.
That's the power of fear. If anyone questions to your point earlier, the motivation, the base, I think it is the base greed, forget Wall Street, the movie. It's not greed. The base human level motivation is fear. And if you doubt that, watch Richard Dawkins with Piers Morgan. I want to go back into public square. Okay. So tell me if I'm characterizing it right. To me, it looks like maybe the best parallel is Yelp. It's a place where consumers can go an app on their phone and find businesses of any industry that, to your description a moment ago, share their values. Coffee house, leisure wear, but it's local, right? I mean, it's on a map. If I live in Southern California, I pull it up and I can see businesses in my vicinity that share my values. Is that a fair description?
That's it. In some places, it's very ironic where most of the businesses have signed up. So if you're in Seattle, or if you're in Southern California, or if you're in Chicago, Illinois, when you go local, you have a lot of options, and it's counterintuitive of, wait a minute, there are all these freedom loving businesses in Chicago and Seattle and, you know, Southern California. And it's in response to those small and medium sized businesses were the ones hardest hit with horrific COVID policies that attempted to put them out of business. And so that is one angle, the local angle. And there are other markets where public square's got a lot of work to do. And I would say to your listeners, if you own small, medium-sized businesses, whether it's a product or service industry, you know, you should register on public square. There's probably now over 1 million users of it. It's free to sign up. And your business will get a lot of free publicity because it's exactly what Will said. It's Yelp-like. The differentiator is outside of the local option, and it's the feature I use more often than not, is just the products you can find from around the country, and it's the marketplace. So it's how I found an amazing cooler. It's how I found awesome socks. It's, you know, I get my coffee from a company. I think they're based in Portland, Oregon. And, you know, most of it is, you know, 2-day shipping, 2 or 3-day shipping. And so it's both of those, Will. It's both a local angle and a national angle. And for businesses to sign up, they have to agree with the 5 values that are listed on Public Square's website that are not Republican or conservative.
Can you tell me those values?
Yeah, I will. Let me pull them up. But it's 5 values that essentially say we're pro-Constitution, we believe in the sanctity of every life, we're pro-capitalism, and we commit to never spending our money on anti-American values or anything anti-constitutional. That's the gist of it. So businesses, to get on the platform, all they have to do is affirm that, hey, we won't take any of our profits and reinvest them in politics or nonprofits that are counter to these values. And so businesses can sign up for free, and then consumers can find those businesses for free. From a investment standpoint, there are two big things happening at Public Square that I'm excited about. One is they're on track to go public. Right now, they're listed under CLBR, which is the company that has acquired them for the purposes of going public. And so the stock is, you know, the stock ticker will change to likely PSQ once the SEC approves the merger. So that's exciting because the company will soon have a lot more capital to scale and grow. But just on a very, you know, practical level, consumers have the ability to support Public Square by downloading the app, or business owners can sign up for free.
There you go. Hey, so a couple of questions. I hope I have the time with you to ask you this about Public Square. How do you vet? So anybody can say, I affirm these values. How do you vet businesses inside Public Square?
Michael's got a great team. That's a team that's all they do is determine, you know, is this a real business? Do they have a real website? Do they have quality products? And is there any evidence that they fall outside of our values? So they have a vetting team. And then we have a very active community on the Public Square app that I don't think he's had any cases of this, but were there to be businesses that had sort of were duplicitous, right? Representing themselves on one side one way and on the other side another, then our consumers would call that out. And they've signed a contract saying we will stick to these values. So if they breach that contract, then they'd no longer be affiliated with Public Square. I lost my train of thought a minute ago. The second big thing that will soon happen is, you know, in addition to having this marketplace, both local and national, Public Square will soon have some of their own products. And the team that Michael's assembled, who are D2C experts, that will launch very high quality products that align with people's values on very sensitive and important topics in all of our lives, will be exciting. So look for a major announcement from them.
That leads me to this question. And this kind of will bring our conversation full circle in talking about, you know, the motivations of various CEOs or corporations to distance themselves from American ideals. What is the profit mechanism for Public Square? Do you take advertising from the businesses? Do you take transactional fees? Should something be ordered through Public Square? How do you guys make money?
Yeah, anyone can sign up for free that aligns with the values. The value prop right now to Public Square is that those who want to be promoted to the audience in a more targeted way, we have a very high click-through rate on a huge email distribution list. We have the ability to push notifications directly to, you know, people's screens. And so companies advertise with Public Square, and the feedback, again, I come at this as initially a potential of an investor who went through nearly 5 months of due diligence with the company. So I would call other companies who were advertising with Public Square and ask them about their experience. And those who were spending advertising dollars against it would make comments like, you know, we're getting a 10x return on our PSQ advertising dollars over our Meta advertising dollars. I had a company in the let's just say in the health industry that said I had to text Michael 2 days into their paid advertising campaign for my company to tell him to shut it down. Our customer service center could not handle the orders, and that tends to be more the rule than the exception, is that companies that pay for the data to hyper target a consumer, you know, to find consumers through the platform, have had very good results. But there are other profit centers in the future, Will, that Michael and his team have in their roadmap that won't be advertising, you know, advertising dollars alone.
Don't go anywhere. More of the Will Cain podcast right after this.
Well, I believe you on that return on investment for advertising. And I believe that if you guys reach critical scale, you're going to find an audience. The demand is there. I see it firsthand on Fox, by the way, hosting right. Fox and Friends. It's so fun. You know, almost every weekend we host small businesses that come in who share Soldier Socks, for example, has been on Fox and Friends. And it's really fun to say to these guys, and we're talking about a 3-minute television hit where some of these guys actually get 45 seconds because it's divided into three companies, and say, pull up your app. What, you know, do you have an app that tracks, you know, traffic or orders? Pull it up. And in the wake of an appearance, the it will absolutely not spike, but hockey stick up, which I think you can say, OK, that's a testament to Fox. What I think it's a testament to is a customer pool ready, willing and engaged to become the customer of a business that reflects their values. And to your point, has a quality product. And I think another pressure point is you got to have ease of use, which brings you guys at Public Square back in. People want to have values, but the truth is it's got to be easy. It can't be hard. Yeah, I can't drive 20 yeah. miles nope. to get the thing I want when the one that defies my values is 1 mile away. You know,
no, that's exactly it. I mean, because at the end of the day, you only believe what you and I believe if you're also really a capitalist, which means yeah. for my money, I want the best product at the lowest price with the most excellent customer service. So the values alignment just has to be the icing on the cake. It can't be the right. whole recipe. And the opportunity I see for this company is that if you think that there are 100 million Americans who are fed up with how out of touch most of the companies that they are doing business with are, and then you say, okay, well, who can I name off the top of my head who aligns with my values? What I think the ordinary Nick or Will would say, and we're ordinary people, but if you just sort of ask them cold on the street, I think they'd probably go, well, I can buy a pillow. I can buy a chicken sandwich. I can go to Hobby Lobby. And beyond that, you know, maybe they can buy some gold coins from a broker who advertises. But like beyond that, so I look at that and I go, okay, the opportunity for those companies who are willing to do it right with excellence and who can attract the talent and the capital, the opportunity is enormous because
yes.
what I just named is not even a tenth of a tenth of a tenth of a percent of the American GDP of this 100 million person marketplace. So that's what I think the opportunity is. The other thing I love about Public Square is that the whole design is to create dozens, if not over time, hundreds of winners. This isn't displacing a bunch of other people. It's hopefully inspiring hundreds and hundreds and one day thousands of more, you know, very large companies at scale. By the way, they're already hundreds of thousands of companies on the platform, but I'm saying that it would inspire hundreds of thousands more to be created to yes. have excellent products, customer service, and by the way, reinvest them in causes that are in line with our American values.
Man, that's what excites me. I'm really thrilled to hear about Public Square, but the parallel economy, you guys are actually doing it, not just talking about it. And the real inspiration for me is not just your success, but the potential for, as you just say, the hundreds, the thousands, who knows how big it can be, of companies that can serve what I think is an obvious demand. You can start a company with quality, with talent, with ease of use. And I promise you, there's an audience waiting, you know, back to the puritanical thing. Who's just waiting for it to be made easy? You know, replace my Netflix subscription, please. Someone, Fox Nation, Daily Wire, replace, you know, my Paramount subscription, replace Nike's. I think there's a ton of people ready if the American way, which is entrepreneurialism and risk tolerance, can step up.
Yeah, the I guess my final sort of swing thought or major takeaway is if I thought the solution to reuniting the country, which is what I yearn for us all, you know, irrespective of, which is what made America great from the beginning, like irrespective of our skin color or our religious convictions, whether we have them or not, or where we're from, or whether we were rich or poor, like we were the only place in the world that were united by the ideal of something bigger and greater than that, which is we are Americans. My desire is not for there to create a division and yeah. for this parallel economy to be the permanent solution, but I came to two conclusions. One is the political solution is not enough, because I was in the middle at a pretty senior level of when we had a Republican in the White House and we controlled, you know, when we controlled Congress. And what I saw there is that the way, you know, the business community, the global business community had built up and the power and influence they had and how out of line that was with our country's values, that we no longer, if you believe what we believe, we can no longer say, well, we won an election, therefore we're going to succeed. I was in the belly of the beast. Okay, that's not enough anymore. So then what is? The only way to bring us back together is to actually inflict some economic consequence where these big companies that for forever loved this country and were loyal to this country and its constitution and its values, where soon they say, you know what, maybe this whole division stuff and trashing the country and crapping on the heads of 100 million people who have Judeo-Christian values, maybe we should stop doing that.
I
would love a scenario. I'll take one of two scenarios where public square either becomes one day so big that it displaces them and they learn the ultimate lesson, or that the economic consequence becomes so obvious in the coming years that they back off of it and say, you know what, we're going to just get back to creating a product and delivering it to these Americans at the best cost, and maybe not investing in nonprofit groups that seek to divide and destroy our values. And I think the only way we get there is when our consumers and when the people listening to your show that love this country wake up and create some discipline around who am I giving my money to? And do they hate me? Like this is not a complicated question. And if you just look at what they're saying, many of them do. They literally say, we don't want your business.
There you go. Check them out. I think we definitely all should check it out. Download it. Public Square. Nick Ayers, thank you so much, man.
Hey, I enjoyed it. This was fun, and look forward to doing it again. Thanks for having me.
Have fun hunting. Have fun scouting. There you go. I hope you enjoyed that conversation with Nick Ayers. Check him out. Public Square. Got to start doing it. Got to start walking it, not just talking it. I'll see you again next time on the Will Cain Podcast. Listen ad-free with a Fox News Podcast Plus subscription on Apple Podcasts and Amazon Prime members. You can listen to this show ad-free on the Amazon Music app.
From the Fox News Podcasts Network.
Hey there, it's me, Kennedy. Make sure to check out my podcast, Kennedy Saves the World. It is 5 days a week, every week. Download and listen at foxnewspodcast.com or wherever you listen to your favorite podcast.